Life is made up of experiences. Experiences shape our perspectives and allow us to pass along knowledge. In this podcast, I sit down with listeners like you and find out that no matter who you are, everyone has a story to tell. I'm Ethan Smith, and this is Life Experienced. Last week, Daniel and Carolyn Ruth of the band New Blue shared what it was like to transition from a local band to full-time, nationally recognized bluegrass artists. This week, we continue their story. New Blue is most often a four-person band. That's Carolyn on vocals and bass, and Daniel on guitar and vocals. But the two other slots, a banjo player and a mandolin player, have varied throughout the years. So how does New Blue manage musician turnover?
When you do something for 15 years, certainly you are the constants in the band, but you've had many other musicians play along with you.
So we have.
What is that process like whenever a musician says, you know, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore? What's it like finding someone new and then...
Oh, don't even talk
stressful.
About it. We're not even going to talk about
stressful.
It.
Very stressful.
Thanks for bringing that up. No, that's... It's a moment. You know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you always... You don't want to think about it until you have to think about it. Because, I mean, when you're on the road 200 plus days a year with everybody, you become family. So it is kind of like losing a family member in some ways. I mean, we're still really good friends with everybody that's played in the band.
Sure.
And still stay in contact with all those folks on some level. You know, there's a lot of really talented musicians out there. And to me, whenever we are looking for a band member, it's important that they want to be there. You know, you look for somebody that can travel within the group and be part of the group. You know, it's more important. How does everybody get along when we're not playing music at mm-hmm. all? You know, does everybody like the same kind of thing? Can we all
coexist?
Do we, you know, and everybody's got to have their own personalities. That's what makes the band and what makes it fun and exciting. But you can't have, you know, there's certain types of people that you just know. Well, we've learned this over time. It's, you know, if you've got somebody that's just an absolute, and I'm not saying we've even had this person. I'm just saying that if you have somebody that's an absolute slob and can't pick up at it and can't, you know, you can't put them in a confined space and expect them not to drive everybody else crazy.
Yeah.
We've become good teachers at how to be in a band. And we go through, whenever we hire somebody, and I've got a booklet.
You know, that
I go, I have to go I go through everything and say, look, you know, here's what we expect as a band, but then here's things, especially if they've never been on the road before. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what it's going to be like. You're going to be bored. You know, spend the money to get Netflix on your phone because you're going to want that.
Yeah.
Things you don't think about, like make sure you're with a bank that's a national bank because you can't make deposits or move your money around or go get, you know, without big fees or maybe even not at all. We've run into that situation before, you know, we try to head off all that at the pass that we can now that we've known. But I mean, I have to say this though, we've had awesome band members. I mean, we hear a lot of the stuff we're talking about, we've heard from other bands. And we've heard horror stories. And we're like, and you know, we've talked, we're like, man, what would it be like in that, you know, what would it, I can't imagine having somebody in the band that would go do that. Mm-hmm. And we've always had very professional people in the band, whether they've been established touring artists or not. We've been very fortunate with that. And I mean, on the flip side of that is, you know, we're married and, you know, it's, those guys also have to ride around in a bus with a married couple that's both redheaded, so yeah. It's not like we don't have our share of disagreements. It's always hard to find that right person, mm-hmm. but when you find them, you know,
yeah,
and you know, okay,
the
this
magic
is
happens.
Yeah, it's going to be like, okay, not only is the music good, but we all just want to hang out together.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the cool part of it. Whenever you can go. 3.5 weeks on a tour bus and get off and hug each other and say, love you, man. And, you know, you're calling each other before, every, you know, to make sure everybody got home, and you're calling each other the next day. You know, you're okay.
Yeah.
So.
Daniel and Carolyn have developed their skills as musicians and mentors during their time as New Blue. But what about the music itself? What motivated Daniel and Carolyn to record original material, and how do they pick the songs they record?
We record a lot of original material.
Right.
And it always takes you longer when you're doing original material to get out there and to get your material known, because it's, nobody's ever heard it.
Right.
It's, you know, what's a New Blue when they, yeah. what's that? Oh, is that another, what are they doing? You know, well, if you're just doing covers, I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love all the traditional bluegrass, but if you're doing covers, you're a cover band. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you're going to, a cover band can't take you, it could take you full time, but it can't take you national. It can't take you international, and it can't, well, we've got four albums that's went top 10 on the Billboard charts. You don't get that as a cover band.
Right.
So, and that was our goal. When we started it, we said we want to do, we want, when people hear our music, people, we want people to say, oh, that's New Blue. Oh, I like them.
Yeah.
We hope they like us anyway at this point. It's
they hadn't started throwing things yet, so I guess we're doing okay.
Right, so what is that? What is that songwriting process like, and how did you get started with that, and what does it look like now as opposed to, you know, just unpack that for us.
We actually don't do a lot of our own writing.
Okay.
Daniel and I have done some writing. We've got a few things that we're sort of holding out on, because when we start collecting material for a CD, we get songs from everywhere. I'll get over 100 submissions every time we get ready to do a CD, and some I'll just get along even when we're not working on projects. We've got one really great friend. He's a North Carolina boy, as a matter of fact, in Nashville, that is a publisher and a song plugger. A song plugger is somebody that people go to, and they pay them a percentage for every song that they get cut by somebody, and that's what their full-time job is. They go and they pitch this new material to labels and to independent artists like us, and they try to get cuts. Well, they've got phenomenal material. There's great writers that work with them, and this one plugger, he's given us all of our really top
Just
songs.
About every one of our singles
he's placed with us.
He's put with us, and he gives us some good stuff. And so, you know, for us, when we start pulling the idea together for a CD, it's all got to flow together. And, you know, when you put it in, we want you to listen from the start to the end and make it all make sense. And, you know, if somebody else writes a good song, we're not going to go, oh, well, we have a song that we wrote. It's not as good, but we wrote it, so we're going to put it on here. No, we're not going to do that. Even though, you know, sometimes you look at the money aspect of it, and you say, well, maybe we should do that. But for us, it's about the long, you know, the long game.
And if you get a really good song from another writer and you pass on it,
you may not get it back.
There's at least probably a 60 to 80% chance that you won't get it back, because somebody else is going to take that song and make it theirs. So it really gets to be tedious sometimes when you've got that many great songs that you're sent. And some of them aren't as great as others, obviously, but we narrow it down usually to about 20. And then out of that 20 that are absolute favorites, we have to start whittling away for what goes on the CD. And that's a problem sometimes, because Daniel and I don't always see eye to eye on what we want to cut. And I'm usually right in the end.
She likes a song and I don't like a song, so we record the song.
It's funny, though, because some of the songs that he's been the most against years ago are songs that we're actually still playing in sets right now because people love them so much. Or
that's the judge of a song. If she likes it and I hate it, we have to record it, because that's going to be a great song for us.
And the other thing is, we've got so many songs that we call our selling points on each CD. They're the song, and they may not have been the single, but they're the song. When we perform it, people will come up and buy an entire project for that song.
Yeah.
So there are sort of key elements that you got to stick in there. And a lot of them, in fairness, that I pick out that end up being our big CD sellers are chick songs. They're totally chick songs. They appeal mostly to women. And, you know, you get a woman coming up crying because of a song, you're going to make a sale.
That's why, see, I hear them and I'm like, she's like, isn't that just as sad a song? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty bad, I guess. I don't know. She's like, see, it's a chick song. At this point in the game, you know, it all makes the bus wheels go around. So, you know, whatever sells CDs. So.
New Blue's 2014 album, All the Way, features two well-known guest vocalists. So what was it like recording with these other musicians? We'll find out right after this.
Mama didn't raise no foolish child.
Picture this. You're signing up for a new online service, and after providing your name and email address, you see a small checkbox beside the phrase, I agree to the terms of service. If you're like me, you probably don't stop to give the terms a second thought, but what if you did read them? What are you actually agreeing to, and how does it affect your life? In my new show, Terms and Conditions Apply, I dive into the nuances of these agreements, answering questions like, how does online advertising affect privacy policies? How are terms of service viewed under the law? And what online habits need to change in order to respond to these extremely long and cumbersome agreements? I'm Ethan Smith, and I hope you'll join me as I navigate the complicated landscape of online privacy and data collection, where you'll hear from computer programmers, law professors, an advertising executive, and more. You can listen to all 5 episodes of Terms and Conditions Apply today. Available now wherever you download podcasts or by visiting termsconditionsapply.com. Welcome back. As New Blue has become more well-connected in the bluegrass world, they have had opportunities to collaborate with other well-known musicians. I asked Daniel and Carolyn what this process was like for them.
So in this process of getting songs, you've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of really high profile people over your career. And I'm just thinking right now of Sam Moore. You have a song with Sam Moore and you have a song with Rhonda Vincent. So what's it like to work with some of these people who you consider to be accomplished musicians? And then, you know, talk about that experience.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, you look back and, you know, from the guy that didn't want to walk in front of the crowd at the ball game to all of a sudden be recording with a rock and roll Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
It's a little bit surreal. And Carolyn can speak to that more than I can because she was the one actually in the vocal booth with him.
Oh, man, that was intimidating. we had played CMA Fest in Nashville when we were working on the project, on the All the Way album. And we had already cut Jesus and Jones. It was a tribute song to the late, great George Jones. Very well-written piece. We actually got approval from George's widow, Nancy, before we recorded the song. So we were all excited about it. But when we first got it, we knew we wanted it to be a duet. And we had tossed around different people. We had talked to a few people about doing it. And they're like, yeah, we love the song. We'll do something with you. And we were sitting in our publicist's office in Nashville and talking about this. We already had the music in the can. I had a rough vocal track on it. And he said, I know who we can get. But he wouldn't tell us who it was. So he picks up the phone. He makes a phone call. And he says, oh, I got this bluegrass band here. Da, 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 da. And he said, yeah, I'll send you the song. I'll send you the song. So he sends the song over. A few minutes later, we're still waiting. We hadn't heard anything. We had to leave. He still won't tell us who it is. So we didn't know who we were going to Oklahoma.
Didn't know who it was. Actually, we were working our way. We had a show in like Missouri, and then we were supposed to go up to North Dakota. And so we said, well, he said, y'all guys just go ahead and make your way to your next show, and I'll let you know if it works out. I'm like, gee, thanks. And
it was later that night.
We got a call about 9 or 10 o'clock that night, and I was looking for a truck stop to bed down for the night, and we got a call, and he was like, well, they said they would do it. We're like, great. Who is they?
Right.
And he was like, well, it's Sam Moore. And I was like, wait, the Sam Moore, Sam and Dave, the soul man. And he's like, yeah. So we had a nice little celebration.
Oh, Daniel had to pull Love's, the bus over.
I got to stop for a few minutes.
Right.
Nice. We're all shaking.
Yeah. Love's parking lot. And then he said, well, you need to get together and figure this out and figure out how you're going to do it. So the next morning, started making some calls and, to his management team, and Sam's wife Joyce is his manager. So made some calls and got everything figured out, and she said, well, if we want to make this happen, she goes, you guys are going to have to come here. And you learn in this business that timing is everything, and sometimes you just can't push things because something's going to happen. And it just so happened in this tour that I had this big, like, 5-day gap in between Missouri and North Dakota that I think it was 6 days, that I had called everybody I knew to call, cold called a bunch of people, couldn't get a booking in that time period. And I was like, well, we'll just find something fun to do for a day or two, you know, in the middle of this gap in our tour schedule. And we were right on the front side of that gap. And she said, you know, she goes, if you can come here, we can record it in the next 2 days. So we went to North Dakota via Arizona. we immediately started heading to Arizona, drove out there. Right. Recorded the song.
We couldn't do any posting on Facebook. We couldn't let anybody know where we were going, what we were doing, who we were doing it with. And that was, we were also excited. It was really hard to not start calling people. Guess what we're doing? We're on our way to Arizona.
So all of a sudden, we're in the cone of silence, and we go out to record the song. And on the way to North Dakota, they called and they said, well, the label called and they said, well, you want to get this out as soon as we possibly can so we can get you guys into the national TV stuff early in the fall. And I was like, well, that'll be great, but I'm on tour for like another 3 weeks. And they're like, well, that's not going to cut it. We need the song. So I actually mixed and mastered that song on a kitchen table in North Dakota. We stopped at a friend of ours house and I said, I need your dining room for like a day.
Yeah.
And set up a little makeshift recording mixing area there, and
then we went to
finished it there.
Circuit City, who is no longer in business, right. But we go to a Circuit City and start borrowing all their little.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure it sounded good, so we're like putting the CD and all their
radios on the wall.
Right?
They're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm just making sure this sounds good."
Yeah.
But you do what you got to do,
mm-hmm.
and you make it happen, and it came out great. And
yeah.
We got to go do Fox News Radio, Huckabee Show, Imus in the Morning. I don't remember Bloomberg.
CBS Sunday Morning.
Yeah, we got to go do all that off of it.
I was fortunate enough to get with Sam the 5 o'clock interview with Pim on Bloomberg. That was
that was pretty cool. So, you know, you get to do, and again, it happens. So, I mean, that happened just boom, boom, boom. You don't even really have time to think about it till it's all said and done.
Yeah.
You come back on the backside of it and you go, wow, that just happened. And, you know, so, you know, I tell everybody now, you know, the guys in the band, I'm like, hey, you know, we're going to do some cool stuff and treasure every moment of it and take it in because it's going to go by fast whenever, you know, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the Rhonda cut on that same CD, it just happened overnight. Literally. We were, in the studio, I was cutting vocals on That's What Makes the Bluegrass Blue, and listening to it and singing, it was like, you know, Rhonda, this sounds like something that Rhonda would cut. And we said, well, let's try to get her on it. Actually, I texted her. I didn't call her.
We were cutting it, and we texted her, and she said, well, I'm in the studio tomorrow. She's like, send me the song over, and mm-hmm. I'll cut a part on it.
Yeah.
So, finished it up that night, mixed it, sent it over to her. Next day, she sent us a track back, and we threw it on there. And then, before it was all said and done, that song ended up being most played song of the year on Sirius XM Radio for 2015. So, and it's still in pretty heavy rotation on there. So, you know,
it's a good song. It's a good song.
It's a great
song.
It's very commercial. And it's got all the key elements that make a good bluegrass song.
Of course.
There's a ghost. There's a mining accident.
Yep.
It's just all tied up there.
Yeah.
And you can't. The only thing it's lacking is a train.
Okay.
Yeah. No train.
No train in this one.
But. Right.
And nobody beat their wife in this one either.
That's good.
But somebody did die.
That's true.
So.
Yeah.
Not to spoil the song.
Sure. That's all right.
And she cries, 'cause her one true love's gone. Every night, from the dusk until the dawn, her tears fall down and touch the ground and become the morning dew. And that's what makes the bluegrass blue. That's what makes the bluegrass.
Yeah.
New Blue followed the success of their album All the Way with their 2017 album Vagabonds. It is my pleasure now to introduce the song 640 Battlefield Drive from that album, performed live by New Blue on the day we recorded this interview. I hope you enjoy.
The sun is barely coming up. Two young soldiers waiting on the bus. Dave's just like his daddy was. He loves a good fight. And John's just like his mama. He does what he thinks is right. And their mama sees the strength in their hearts. She waits till they drive away, and then she falls apart. It's just like any other Sunday morning. Most all the world is still asleep, and everybody's got their own idea of what war is. But to her, it's a battle she fights on her knees. She prays her baby boys will be alright. She prays for peace on earth at 640 Battlefield Drive. Letter said, so she didn't open it. Your country and your president sincerely regret to inform you your sons aren't coming home. There'll always be two empty chairs where they belong. It's just like any other Sunday morning. Most of the world is still asleep, and everybody's got their own idea of what war is. But to her, it's a battle she fights on her knees. She prayed her baby boys would be all right. She prayed for peace on earth. 640 Battlefield Drive. She finally picks the letter up in her trembling hands. The words she read were bittersweet, and through her tears it said, your son Jonathan will receive the Purple Heart. He'll be released on Monday. He's been honorably discharged. David gave the greatest sacrifice. We'll mail his things to 640 Battlefield Drive.
Daniel and Carolyn will no doubt keep bluegrass alive as they tour the country, record new music, and mentor other musicians along the way. If you'd like more information about New Blue, including their upcoming tour destinations, you can visit their website at newblue.com. That's NU-BLU.com. All of their studio albums, their Christmas project, and other singles are available wherever you stream and purchase music. For updates about the band, you can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. All of these links may be found in the blog post for this episode on lifeexperienced.org. Life Experienced is hosted and produced by Ethan D. Smith and is primarily distributed via anchor.fm. The show is also available on DSound, a decentralized audio sharing platform built on the Steam blockchain. For more information, visit dsound.audio. The opening and closing theme music is composed by Lee Rosevier and used under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Other music is used with permission of New Blue Bluegrass artists. To learn more about the show and to listen to past episodes, visit lifeexperienced.org. And if you've stuck around this far, I normally have something extra for you at the end, but unfortunately I do not this week. However, I want to say thank you so much for listening. You help make this show great. If you really want to help the show, be sure to go leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or any other app where you listen to podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Also, if you love the show, be sure to share it with your friends in person or share it on social media. We appreciate each and every one of those shares. Thank you so much once again, and I will see you back here next week.